Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're broadcasting live today from the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. Hugh Weber just sat down in the chair across from me. He's the host of the Potluck Society. You can find it wherever you find your podcasts, or you can listen live online, or listen to it online at listen.sdpb.org. Hey, Hugh.
Hey. It's good to be here. How are you?
Good. Jan Karen, 80 years old.
What a gift.
And
what an incredible conversation.
Still trying to carve time out. I like that what you said. It's be aggressive about carving time for yourself, like a turkey. You got to carve it out. No joke.
That's right. I had an opportunity this week to speak to an 80-year-old as well. Yeah. In the last couple weeks, that is. I'm bringing today Anthony Furman from Flandreau, South Dakota. I sat down with him initially. He, for 36 years, served Flandreau Indian School as their chaplain. But he was in a reflective mood, and as a recently christened 80-year-old, really shared a bit about his journey through life. So that's who I'm bringing today.
I'm fascinated by this, that reflection. What are we going to be reflecting on when we're 80? We don't have to talk about that right now. But I'm
that's a long conversation.
All right, so Anthony Furman from Flandreau.
So I start every conversation with a bit of a disclaimer. Maybe it's a little my insecurity, but I make sure to tell the person I'm sitting with that I'm not a journalist, that I'm more of a storyteller or story discoverer, and that my only expectation is that that guest brings an idea to pass. Mm-hmm. So Anthony jumped right in and engaged from the start in that conversation. The only requirement of the Potluck Society is that you bring an idea or a story to pass. So that's the entirety of the expectation that I've set, is that maybe some point in the next handful of minutes you'll share a story.
What is it called?
The Potluck Society.
I like that. Yeah. I like potluck, actually.
It works for me. Yeah, you like potluck?
Well,
tell me about an ideal potluck.
Oh, golly. Anything that brings the community together in interaction and love and caring and strengthens the sense of community and what that means in this very compartmental age of living, I think is beyond vital. I mean, it's just, it can't be overstressed for making the community get together. And I state that so clearly because I have watched since the invention of television. That's a funny screen, but I saw that happen to families. We used to get together. We used to play cards. We used to sit around and visit, and we used to argue. And that doesn't happen anymore. So unless you do the potluck and you do the things to bring the community together, we are joined together by a common treasurer who takes our money. And that's about as far as it goes. And I don't like it. I think it's been a major step backwards.
I feel like we should cue the angel choir or something for that revelation. Bringing the community together.
Oh, it's dusty here in the studio. I get emotional because he reminds me so much of my grandfather. Right from the start. And the time with him was magical. He's from Philadelphia, which is where I went to school, so he reminds me a lot of the men that were in and around my college experience. And so there's something just beautiful about the simplicity in which he engages. You know, mm-hmm. He's a transplant to Flandreau, came on the journey in an unusual path, but has this certain here-ness to the way he engages community around him. You know, I asked him specifically what brought him from Philadelphia to South Dakota. And before he would tell me that story, which we share in the potluck episode, he started with a memory from his travels with the Air Force Band, which he traveled the world. He played for Eisenhower and Kennedy. But he talked about the 1960s and some racial discrimination and his first exposure to a South Dakotan.
We were told at a hotel in New Orleans to protect the guilty. I won't mention the hotel. We were told that six of our guys in the Air Force Band couldn't stay there. They had to go to some other hotel, which called us Louisville. I wonder what it was called. But and the guy on the desk said, we have a limo for them. We'll take them right to the other hotel. And our commander, young man, graduate of SDSU. At the time, he was a first lieutenant. And his name is, can I tell his name on the air? Sure. Lauren Johnson, SDSU. He had South Dakota Mount Rushmore on his license plate. I was working on his car one day in the hobby shop and said, what is that? What are those pictures on your license plate? I didn't know what Mount Rushmore was. Sorry, had no clue. But anyway, he said to the clerk in the hotel in New Orleans the night before the Mardi Gras parade, which we were heading, he said, "We are the United States Air Force. We don't segregate. We don't do this." And the clerk held his ground and said, "I'm sorry, sir. They can't stay here." And he called the buses back at almost 11 o'clock at night and said, "We're going home. We're going back to Washington. Please load the buses." And we left. Wow. My first leadership contact with a South Dakota person, and I was very impressed. Beyond impressed.
It's a pretty beautiful way to get introduced to South Dakotans, kind of our best foot forward. In the podcast, we talk at length about Mr. Furman's time at Flandre Indian School. He has so many stories about these students and their impact on him and his family life, but it was a simple anecdote that he offered right as he started telling those stories that has really stuck with me the past month.
The students were wonderful, and they allowed for my East Coast inexperience or whatever, and I guess I could summarize that, abbreviate it into one little story. I used to eat lunch in the cafeteria with the kids, which I had no car at that time and no money to buy a car. And I was sitting at the table in the cafeteria reading my whatever. And after several months of working with the kids, I looked up around me and there was kids at the table. And that was neat because we were interacting and all of a sudden I wasn't lonely. And one of the girls looked at me and she said, "We have decided to let you in." I said, "Thank you. I feel very happy about that. I am delighted." And I never had a quiet or a private meal again, I think, for many, many, many years. But that's just how it occurs. And I think the problem was with the kids. They would say to me, "How long are you going to be here?" That was their first question. I think they were saying they were tired of people coming in and out of their lives. No matter how good your intentions, that became a paramount question. And I couldn't answer it at the time. I had to say, "I don't know. I'm on a contract. I don't know how long I'll be able to stay, but I'll stay as long as I can." And that turned out to be 36 years, which to me is a little mind-boggling. And never dull. It's a boarding school. So that means it never will be dull because you're acting parent, chaperone, and I think the clincher in your job description, probably like public, and other duties as assigned.
Other duties as assigned.
It's kind of like hosting in the moment.
Yeah.
Other duties as assigned.
I love this. "We have decided to let you in."
Yeah.
That has to be one of your takeaways, just that line.
It's such a beautiful statement of community, and it's part of that process that he had to have that time alone. But for him, they decided to let him in, and he says, and it's such a strong statement, "And I wasn't lonely anymore."
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't say alone, but it was that he wasn't lonely anymore. And it's such a beautiful statement of belonging and connection and simplicity.
Everything that the Potluck Society is about in some ways is in this conversation with Anthony.
It is. I read an article this past week that said that children just want to be loved, they want to know they are safe, and they want to know they belong. And I don't think that leaves us as children. I think it's there, it's part of community, whether it's big national conversations that we're having or people at a lunchroom table at a school in Flandre.
What's your advice for people on how to beat loneliness? You're lonely right now. You're listening. You're a little less lonely because you're listening. But what happens next?
I think it is about seeking connection. And I think, I'm headed this weekend to Albuquerque to talk to a group of designers. And on some level, I'm going to be talking about exactly that. But it's about seeking connection yourself, reaching out, taking those proactive steps, sharing your story, which I think creates space for vulnerability and openness and mutuality. And Anthony certainly does that. And then just being willing to sit in it and sit in some of that discomfort or uncomfortable loneliness, knowing that it's not going to be forever and that connection can and will come and that everyone around you is just seeking the same thing as well.
It's radio, so I can't sit here for 30 seconds and just let people process it. But I just think that's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing it.
Yeah.
You can hear the Potluck Society on as a podcast. Every week there's a new episode. Go online, listen.sdpb.org and find it. Or go wherever you get your podcasts. I get mine at iTunes. Just type in the Potluck Society. Or I think you can type in SDPB and that will come up. Also, you can listen to the In the Moment podcast in sort of the same fashion. That is our program for today. Thank you, whoever.
It's always great to be here.